Du lytter til Donut-modellen med Anders Morgenthaler. Podcasten er sponsoreret af Irma.
Skal det virkelig være sådan, at hver gang jeg spiser en Nutella-mad, så dør der en orangutang på Sumatra? Nej! Selvfølgelig behøver den abe ikke dø, bare fordi du er lækker sulten. Men vi er nødt til at lave nogle virksomheder, der kan producere chokoladepålæg, uden det smadrer regnskoven. Velkommen til Donut-modellen med Morgenthaler. En podcast, hvor iværksættere pitcher deres bud på virksomheder, der ikke behøver at aflive aber på Sumatra, fordi du skal have stillet din sukkertrang. I hver episode af Donut-modellen forsøger en ildsjæl at vride kapital ud af en flok grønne investorer for at skabe en ny bæredygtig virksomhed. Men vent, Anders. Hvad er Donut-modellen? Donut-modellen er en ny økonomisk model, skabt af den geniale engelske økonom Kate Raworth. Donut-modellen sikrer vækst, men aldrig på bekostning af planeten og menneskers basale behov. Og det er lige præcis ud fra den model, at jeg har valgt de virksomheder, der deltager i dagens podcast. Lad os nu kaste os ud i det! Velkommen til Donut-modellen. Lad mig præsentere dagens grønne, bæredygtige, lækre og fremragende investorer. Birte Hjortlund investerer på vegne af familiefonden Five Invest.
Jeg kunne godt tænke mig, at man også rigtig brændte for det.
August Lund, som blandt andet ejer Kofoko.
Det er derfor, jeg stort set ikke engang kan huske tit, hvor mange procent jeg har i et eller andet.
Anne-Louise Tornshjort, lead partner i SDG Invest.
Så er det måske lige værd at give de sidste 10% væk.
Rosinen i pølseenden er Christian Munk fra Dragsbæk Group. Han er fra Thy.
Jeg synes, August valuation var alt for høj, men nu har han sagt, at jeg turde ikke sige nej, jeg vil jo ikke virke som den nære jyde.
Dagens virksomhed, som træder ind foran de fire investorer, hedder Grim. Ja, det hedder det altså. Og det er fordi, de sælger grimme grøntsager videre fra landmændene, der ellers ville blive smidt ud, og de sælger det til dig og mig i måltidskasser. Petra fra Finland og Karoline fra Tyskland har skabt Grim. Og det er Petra, der pitcher på deres vegne, og hun er allerede klar til at gå i gang.
So hello everybody. My name is Petra. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Grim. And today I will tell you about the beautiful case of ugly fruits and vegetables. So 1/3 of all fruits and veggies grown will never make it from farm to market simply because they don't look perfect. So let me show you. This orange, this is too small. This salad here has too many brown spots.
So we're seeing these vegetables that are looking pretty perfect.
And this zucchini is too curvy to be sold in the market. Well, this is some of the best produce you will find. In Europe alone, because of these beauty standards, 50 million tons of edible produce goes to waste every single year. This is a huge burden for the environment. It's not only the food that doesn't end up on people's plates, but also all the resources that go into planting, nurturing, harvesting it. But secondly, this is also lost potential revenue of 1.5 trillion crowns each and every year. So Grim is here to solve both of these problems. We source the ugly and surplus produce directly from the farms, and we sell it to our different customers, both the end consumer and the food businesses. So we started with the end consumer by delivering food boxes, like this one here. And it's a subscription model, so you choose either small or a big box to get it delivered right to your doorstep every week or every second week. Since our launch, we have delivered 3,000 boxes to 600 subscribers, and we are growing fast at a rate of 30% month on month. And we also have 500 people on the waiting list, waiting for us to deliver in their area. Also, our customers love us. We have a retention rate of 85%. And they share the love. 20% of our customers have actually posted about Grim on their social media at least once. So we have a really strong community online as well. With this food box, we are targeting customers. We're targeting a growing market of 25 to 45-year-olds who want to live more sustainably, but are too busy to put in that extra effort that it requires. And I am now raising 1.6 million to finance our growth in the next 12 months.
Petra vil altså have 1,6 millioner for at kunne gro sit team, udbygge faciliteterne og udvikle nye markedsstrategier bag Grim. For det beløb, der vil investorerne få ca. 15% af Grim. Men det kommer vi til at høre meget mere om senere i dagens afsnit. I forhold til donut-modellen, så ser jeg Grim som det perfekte initiativ. Det både begrænser spild af mad, samtidig med, at de arbejder på at sætte fokus på de her grimme grøntsager, der bliver kasseret på grund af deres udseende. Helt absurd! Fordi et af verdens største problemer er madspild.
Det er nødvendigt, at verdens fødevareressourcer bliver brugt bedst muligt, hvilket Grimm er advokat for. Og derfor mener jeg, at de passer perfekt ind i Kate Raffords donormodel. Fordi de netop adresserer klodens manglende ressourcer ved at skabe en økonomi på de her grimme grøntsager.
Is it organic?
Always organic. Sometimes even biodynamic.
What are your range of products?
Range of products. Mm. Always seasonal. Mostly we want to always support as much Danish as possible. But we have now, like I said, we need to bring variety. We have produce list, of course, depending on the season, anything between 30 to 50 different kinds of items. Because we have, like I said, many different kinds of farms. So we get a lot of produce that you maybe haven't even seen before.
Could I ask, what is the biggest threat against your production? What if the suppliers can't deliver? Mm-hmm. The weather is quite a factor here.
Yes, as we have very well seen. Yes. That's one threat, of course. But this is why we are building a large network, both in Denmark and also internationally.
Yes.
Immediately when we started supplying from Italy, that's balanced out a lot. Of course, in the years to come, we have to see what kind of catastrophes we are experiencing, but this is what we can compete with.
Regarding your suppliers, what kind of... I assume you should be able to buy this at fairly good prices. They should give you a decent discount. What is the alternative use for the supplier? What else can they do with the, you know, ugly carrots?
When it's an organic farm, they could use it as a fertilizer, so blow it back to the ground.
Yeah.
It could be used for farm animals as feed, or maybe their own families. but there's not really financial return for it.
So relative to, you know, pretty carrots, what kind of discount do you get?
Depending on the size of the farm, is -20% to -70%.
Okay, that's a wide range.
It is. It depends whether it's 50 hectare farm or if it's 500 hectare farm. That's where it's mostly based on.
Petra, this question is a little bit personal, but sometimes I see your generation being very good at sort of starting up stuff, but not really having the staying power. How are you going to convince me that you have the staying power, that you're going to keep working even though you don't get a salary for a year or 2 years? And how are you going to stick with it?
Nu bliver der spurgt til Petras alder og generation. For noget investorer ofte oplever med de her såkaldte millennials, som er født omkring årtusindskiftet, det er, at de er rigtig gode til at få idéer, de er også rigtig gode til at lave netværk og SoMe og skabe muligheder, men det falder ofte sammen, når de lange seje træk skal laves.
We have very strong drive to make this happen, and that's why we did the two of us without resources. Really, we did all the research, we established the company, and we managed to get our first customers with a non-existing webshop system, no information on the website. So we really created that out of nothing. So that already confirms that we can do that with minimal resources because we are so driven to do that. But secondly, also now we have this community of followers and of customers who are also showing us that we are doing right and there's a need for it, which of course is a big driver for us as well.
Petra, what's your background and what's the background of your co-founder?
My background is actually come from Finland. I did my bachelor in international management. And since then I was part of two different startups, working in sales and management business development. And then I moved here to study innovation and entrepreneurship with sustainable business at CBS, where I met Caroline. She has a background in brand and product design. Worked, for example, Zalando after her bachelor. She's from Germany. So we are international team in that sense.
And the business today is owned by you and your co-founder?
50-50, yeah.
Okay.
Vores investorer skal til at beslutte, om de vil hoste grøn op eller ej. Noget jeg ved, vores investorer er meget opmærksom på, når de skal beslutte sig for, om de er inde eller ude. Det er den såkaldte evaluation. Det er Grimms egen idé om, hvad de er værd. Investorerne har nemlig erfaring med, at især yngre iværksættere sætter det her evaluation, altså prisskiltet, alt for højt. Og lige præcis det dilemma er jeg ret sikker på, at Petra kommer til at mærke.
I'm a bit concerned with the valuation because I actually get to 24 million at 15% at 1.6. But what is the what would you consider getting a bigger share? I mean, if we went in, would you consider giving away more of your power?
It's a first round.
Does it come with a board seat?
Could come, yes.
Okay.
The right expertise is there. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Thank you so much, Petra. It's really interesting. I'm just doing the rounds here. Birte, what's your comment, and would you like to hear more?
Well, it is interesting in some ways. Well, I'm not quite convinced that these produce is a stable source for you if it's organic. It's a bit risky, but in any way, I think it's interesting.
Yeah, we've already secured a lot of stability, and especially when we grow the farmers network.
Mm.
Pierre, are you going put some money in it?
I could do.
Do you want to see more numbers, or?
Well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, perhaps around 150,000, something like that. It's not that large.
Yeah. August, what is your comment?
Well, my view of the business. First of all, you know, I love the brand, and the idea. I just think that it's an incredible complex business. It's a horrible margin business. Anything with food, logistics, horrible. Not your logistics, but the logistics in general, horrible. So there needs to be a different solution for that. And you deal with changing dynamics, given that the farms are constantly changing because they can't live with the waste either. As you probably know, I have many interests in food business. Among other, we're one of the bigger producers of ready-made meals and salads, etc. I would like to participate, but at a different valuation. And it would also be with some kind of direct impact in how to run and deal with the future of the company, since I see many synergies to what I do today, and I have many views about how to run that particular
August,
business.
What's your number?
Well, I would not be in for a valuation above, let's say, 7.5 million. I would be in for anything between 0 and 1 million Danish kroner, but not at a higher valuation than 7.5 million. And it will come with all those strings attached. And it's basically not because, as I said, I love the business. I just have a lot of experience on how to deal within F&B.
So we've got 1.150 so far. Let's go to and see if we can get some more here.
I would say the same as August. And I like the idea. I like the name. I like the idea of giving the unperfect zucchini an extra chance. So
you can take it home. I'll give it to you.
Yeah. You know, August, I'm also in the food business. We own Naturli, which has a long tradition for these plant-based foods, and want to take it to the next level. And I see this like a perfect story. So I'll go in with the same conditions as August had. It's a valuation of a maximum of 7 million. And the percentage, of course, it depends how many we are, I assume, what would be the split and so on. But I find your valuation far too high.
I agree that the valuation is too high. Have you got a number that you want to put on it?
Anything between maybe 200 to 500,000.
So actually, if you got 200 to 500 here, you got 150,000 at Birte. You got something between 0 and 1 million from August, providing the valuation comes down. I think that probably goes for all of us. Whatever these guys come up with, we're missing anything between 0 and 250,000. My calculation, I agree the valuation is too high. Mm-hmm. I also want a bigger share and a board seat, because I think these guys need to sit there and help you stir the business a bit. Mm-hmm. But I'll match what the other guys are missing. So mm-hmm. if there's a miss, I'm there. So I think we can safely say that you got your investment if you agree with the valuation.
Exactly.
So to sum it up, we can get to the 1.6.
We can get to the
1.6. How the split is a little bit uncertain, but mm-hmm. we can get there. And it requires a valuation of that we come down to 7 million plus some strings attached in relation to board seats, et cetera.
Petra, what are you saying?
Let me see.
I think, I mean, that definitely two people here are coming with so-called smart money. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of them, but
my experience is not to, you know, I don't want to push a decision, but I would actually say that it's more important knowing that business than actually, you know, the money itself, because, you know, it's, just look at the statistics. Most food business ends up closing down because it is a tough business.
Of course, I'm aware of that too.
Petra, I think it's a really good idea. Do you know, sometimes I think mm-hmm. people, some of the startups we look at, the biggest problem is that the valuation is too high, and actually getting the right investors on board is mm-hmm. really important for you at this stage.
Exactly. And I'm very aware of that. But in terms of the valuation, 7 million is too low for us. I would be ready to negotiate with 9, 10 million.
Okay. I think we are a bit set here. Are we not?
I wouldn't go further. No. Then I would just ask you to go and have a think about it. Because, yeah, no, I wouldn't go further. I think we, you know, the thing is from my side, there would be a lot of knowledge transfer as well. And, mm-hmm. you know, so it's, but, you know, it is what it is. I can't see myself paying more for that.
Mm-hmm. No, and the same here. So I really think you should reconsider. It would be too bad to miss out of this perfect opportunity.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot that tempts me.
So you'll get only this offer once, Petra. Decide
only
now.
Once.
Time is running out,
Time
Petra.
Is running, yeah.
The alternative is showing up in Løvens Hule.
Yeah. Oh, God. This is what I have to go through. Guys, it's really, and girls, and women, and men, really great to hear. I'm really,
Come on, we need a decision.
Yeah. The problem is that it's the first round, right? And we see a lot of potential in the future investment. Oh, well, we need more further investment as well. Mm-hmm. Team members to join, so to keep that cap table a little bit more open. That's my concern. In terms of everything that you can offer, it's a great match, but the valuation of 7 million... It's too low at this point.
Okay.
Okay.
I wish you all the best, Petra. Thank you for coming in here.
Thank you.
And I'll follow you and see how it goes.
You should all. Should I leave this box here for you to eat it?
Yes, please. Yeah,
please do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Det var...
Oh, Jesus Christ. Nu...
Ja.
Det var skidespændende.
Ja.
Altså man var helt, vi sad derude, jeg ved, ja, jeg fægtede en del med armene for det her, men altså, det var skidespændende. Fordi hold kæft, var det en god idé, og I er alle sammen interesserede, og man sidder bare og tænker, ja, nu er den der, nu er donutmodellen der med det rigtige forretning, med det rigtige baggrund, med det rigtige bæredygtighed, og alle investorerne er med, og så siger hun nej. Birthe, hvad siger du?
Nå, men, altså, jeg må sige, at jeg er helt på linje med det, du sagde før. Altså, og også
med
det, du sagde. Jamen, altså, både med Christian og med han Louise, at der er tilsyneladende en overvurdering af, hvor vigtigt det er at beholde en meget stor ejerandel, og så låser man sig fuldstændig.
Altså, og er det noget, du taler ud af erfaring?
Ja, det taler jeg ud af
erfaring. Prøv lige at forklare, hvad det betyder.
Jamen, det er, at man er meget bange for at afgive noget ejerandel.
Jamen, altså, prøv at beskrive noget for dit eget liv, hvor det
jamen, er sket. Jamen, det har jeg selv siddet med startups, hvor det er altså faktisk et vældig, vældig stor hæmmer for vækst.
Så ja, du har prøvet at være inde i virksomheden, hvor når folk er villige til at opgive noget, så får de faktisk noget ud af det?
Ja. Altså, fordi man er jo nødt til at indse, at man får jo så bare en mindre del af en større kage, i stedet for at få med en meget stor kage, som man ikke kan få noget ud af.
Det er det samme, August, du siger.
Jeg er fuldstændig enig med
jeg synes, det er sindssygt. Altså, jeg kan slet ikke sætte mig ind i det.
I er nødt til, fordi nu sidder vi og taler med nogle mennesker. Hvis der sidder nogen i Millennials, der hører det her, så fortæl lige nogle helt konkrete cases, hvis du kan og må, hvor det er sket, hvor du har en lille ejerandel, og det er til gengæld blevet stort.
Det kan man jo for eksempel sige med Kofoko. Der tror jeg, at folk har været lette, og nu er det en stor virksomhed i dag. Og
hvad er du inde i der for eksempel? Ejer du halvdelen?
Nå, der er to forskellige afdelinger. I Kofoko har jeg 35%, og Kofoko Food, som er vores store produktion, har jeg 75%. Alle ejerne har været lette omkring, hvordan der var ledes med ejerandele. Og derfor har fokus været på forretningen, og ikke på, hvordan det skulle deles. Og jeg er sådan set ligeglad, om jeg er 5 eller 10% mere eller mindre. Det hele handler om, at det er jo ikke der, vi skal lægge energien og tiden. Det skal lægges i at drive forretningen. Så når jeg går ind i noget nyt, så er jeg tit sådan, du ved, det er så early days, at det handler mere om at få det til at fungere, end om man har den ene eller den anden procent. Det er derfor, jeg stort set ikke engang kan huske tit, hvor mange procent jeg har i et eller andet.
Men Anne-Louise, kan det ikke være sådan, tænker jeg, at, og nu gætter jeg måske bare, men det er, at hvis man skal engagere sig og bruge hele sit liv, være vågen 18 timer i døgnet for at få noget til at fungere, og ikke have kærester, eller hvad fanden der nu kunne være i vejen i ens liv, eller ligge på gulvet og sove og spise en grim gulerod, altså... Det er vel det, der går, du ved, og så tænker man, for hvad? Jeg har kun det her. Det kan du godt forestille. Tror du ikke, det kan spille ind?
Det, jeg tror, at man er nødt til at udbrede budskabet, det er, når man får muligheden for at få, jeg vil sige, to smarte investorer med, som har præcis det know-how, de har brug for, så er det måske lige værd at give de sidste 10% væk for at sætte sin valuation ned, og så få de der kloge hoveder med, fordi de sætter sig jo i bestyrelsen, og så hjælper de, og de sidder jo ikke bare i bestyrelsen. Nogle gange flytter de jo nærmest sammen. Ikke? Mm. Men det er svært, fordi det er jo ens baby, så man ser det tit.
Jeg vil også sige, at netværksdelen af det er jo en stor del, hvis man skal ud til en masse mænd. Hvordan kommer du lynhurtigt ud til et eller andet, når Christian har allerede et brand og et netværk? Jeg har allerede nogen, der laver noget. Så hvis du bare alene synergierne kan få ekstra x antal i omsætning og x antal, så er du allerede dobbelt så langt. Så er dit firma dobbelt så meget, som det var dagen før, du fik investeringen. Så er du allerede mere end det, lavet det hjem, så jeg kan slet ikke forstå tankegangen.
Det vil sige, Christian, jeg hørte det sådan her. Altså, her er en founder, der forlader 1,6 millioner på bordet, men som har potentialet til gennem naturlig. Det kunne jo have været naturligt, konkurrent til årstiderne. Er det ikke rigtigt?
Ja, simpel fest.
Jo, altså det er jo ikke langt fra noget, vi allerede selv går og tumler med. Så som netop næste skud på stammen for naturligs rejse. Og jeg synes jo, egentlig er jeg lettet, fordi at, jeg var tvunget lidt med i baghånden. Jeg synes, August valuation var alt for høj. Men nu har han sagt, at jeg turde ikke sige nej. Jeg vil jo ikke virke som den nære i jyde.
Ja, hvor er det, du er fra? Det tror jeg ikke, du fik sagt den her.
Nej, det er og jeg kan godt forstå, at du spørger, Anders. Fordi hvor er jeg fra? Er jeg fra Nørrebro? Eller... Nej, det er jeg ikke. Jeg er fra Thy.
Er det ikke der lugter af penge?
Hvis der er ikke nogen, der vidste det i donutmodellen, så er Christian Munk fra Thy. Og hvad sagde du, brændte ind med et spørgsmål, Bia, det der?
Jamen, det er fordi, jeg tænker i min stille sind, at det her, grunden til, at du som forbruger vil købe det her produkt, det er jo, at du gør noget, du køber jo nogle varer, som ellers ikke ville være solgt. Du gør jo faktisk miljøet en fordel. Jeg kunne godt tænke mig, at man også rigtig brændte for det. Altså, at man virkelig brænder for, at det er det, man vil. Og det, synes jeg, må være en meget vigtig drivkraft, når man udvikler en virksomhed, at det her, det er altså så vigtigt for mig at få det her gennemført, at jeg altså også går over
og til
her.
Det, der siger du vel også, at for mig er det en bekymring, hvis pengene kommer på den måde før det her. Du skulle være villig til at sige, men det vil jeg da gerne, du ved, jeg vil være 70% af de bedste partnere og komme op på en skala, hvor vi samtidig gør en stor forskel hurtigt. Hvis du er alene, ikke? Du ved, så du kommer sgu ikke særlig langt.
Så det her, det var ungdommen møder erfaringen?
Eller også var det, er hun klog nok? Vi ved jo ikke, hvem hun taler med ellers, og hun får meget attention.
Det er simpelthen meget. Altså, jeg kan slet ikke sætte mig ind i, at man ikke med det samme. Jeg var gået med på det med det samme.
Klip til om 3 år. Grim er større end årstiderne. Men tak for i dag. Det var ulideligt spændende.
Tak for det.
Nu kan vi jo ikke klippe til om 3 år for at finde ud af, om Grim er blevet større end årstiderne. Men vi kan klippe cirka 5 måneder frem, og det er nu, hvor Petra besøger mig på Amager til en snak om, hvordan det var at sige nej til investorerne, og hvad der skete siden. For jeg er ærligt talt utrolig spændt på, hvor Grim er i dag.
Okay, så
we're back. 5 months after what seems like being in a investor's Fast and Furious movie. How are you, Petra?
I'm doing good.
Okay. So, and in the program, you seemed suddenly super surprised.
I mean, yeah, like you said, it was intense. They were all jumping on it and setting the terms very quickly. And that's true. And yeah, it was some time ago, and it was the first situation that I've been like really like this, right? So yeah, I had to digest that pretty quickly. But also, I mean, it made sense, you know, like it was intense, but it made sense that all of them were interested, and they were all coming from a bit different points of view.
Yeah, but I'm more interested in that at certain points you start to choke and you start to not know what to say. And you go into this because they want in, but they want more of the company.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I was nearly crying, but I was screaming when you said no. In the control room, I was screaming no.
And I said no.
You said no. So Petra, did you regret not saying yes to those investors in that room?
When I walked out the door, I was thinking, What did I just say? I walked out. I called Caroline, of course, straight away and said, okay, this was the outcome. And I'm not sure what I said was right. And we talked about it. And Caroline has full trust on me. So she, of course, said that if you didn't think it was a good deal, then it's good that you said no.
Mm.
And that was the first conversation. Putting things into perspective, that was the first conversation. But of course, you know, when it is my role to get the investment in our company, of course, I'm thinking about it a lot. The good thing is that we did continue the conversation with, for example, August, which was really important to us and is really important to us. And if I said yes, maybe we would be in a very different position right now. Would be interesting, of course. Maybe very different, but now we're still building what we wanted to. And do I regret? No?
For a short moment, I thought you would say yes.
Yeah. No, I don't.
But it would have been so much better for this podcast if you had said yes.
I know.
Now we're 5 months after that. Mm-hmm. No. What happened? Did you continue a conversation with some of the investors? And can you please tell what that was like in that process?
Yeah. So, yeah, I said no. It was a lot about the valuation. Which I have and we have changed since. So
it was a
good reality check, I have to admit, and I will admit. It was a high one. Maybe because we have been in a very techie circles before. Coming there, went through this accelerator that was really focused on tech startups and tech valuation. We're obviously very different. And
the investors in our program, Donut Model, wanted 25%. Yeah. So what happened? Did you continue your talk with August Lund or Christian Munk or Birte and Louise?
Well, after this recording, we got circulated a common email among all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And there it was said that, yes, everybody was obviously very interested. So let's continue the conversation. August was the first one to reply. Yeah. And also he was clearly the most interested, perhaps the most relevant also of the punch in terms of his experience and background.
So you met up and had coffee?
We met up. We had a coffee, yes.
Yeah.
We talk a lot through email, of course, because he's also not here in Denmark all the time, traveling and in a couple of places. So we were talking about, okay, how to move this forward.
Okay, and what happens?
And then, we decided to test the business relationship first.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so
Jesus Christ, you're so cool. You guys are so professional. Not in terms of valuation, but in terms of...
We can go back to that. Now we're also professional with that.
Okay.
But yeah, so anyway, going back to... because for us, what I was also saying, it's so important to find a partner that can also take us somewhere.
Yeah.
We don't really need silent money in that sense and don't want...
No.
So he obviously is a very well-connected man and connected us to some potential partners.
Can you say that?
I'm not sure if I can right now.
Okay,
unfortunately.
Okay. Are you, because you are in negotiations with them right now?
Exactly. Actually,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so also now it's August.
What happens with August Lund, the investor in Donut Model? Did he invest or not?
No, he didn't.
Oh.
Not because our kind of what we decided is that we're going to test the business relationship.
Okay.
How are we? How do we work together?
Yeah.
Because he wants to know and we want to know, of course. Is there a match in that sense? And then make that work, you know, boost our sales as well, of course, through this. And then
And you're raising that 1.6 million. Mm-hmm. And how's that going?
It's going good. I think it was really important to get that traction to prove the interested investors that we're real and we're doing this and we are successful. And like I said, now we are negotiating who is on board for that 1.6 in what ways. I can't say more at this point, but it's going good.
But you're going to lock that down?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I need to say something. Is that in the program, it was like the investors, because they were so excited about your idea, it seems like they, when you started to say no, or I don't, you know, when you said, it was like looking at a teenager saying no to mom and dad. And they kind
oh,
of,
wow, okay.
I'm not saying that. They were like indicating that. So they kind of put you in a millennial generation corner and saying, are you sure about this? And you should, you know, you should really take this.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Did you feel that?
Yeah. This finger pointing. Are you sure you're not thinking about your future now? No, I think, yes, I did feel, but of course, that's why I was doubting so much, because I was so sure about the valuation. You know, I was so sure about what deal to go for. And then there is a good bunch of experienced people saying another thing. So of course, I still have to doubt it. But then also at the back of my head, I'm thinking, no, but we've figured this. So we've talked about this and we've decided what we should go for. So in that sense, yeah.
Being on the Donut Model podcast, did you feel that helped you in any way?
It did. Like I said, for example, with finding these connections, we had a really intense hour, and you know, they know about me now. They know about us now. And the sustainability circles, they're tight and small in Copenhagen still. You know, and also I'm interested to see also when this comes out, what comes out of that. For us is a lot about, you know, getting the word out there also. So I believe that's also very helpful. And then, yeah, all the investors in the room, I was happy to meet them.
So is Grimm in a good place now?
Yes. We are in a very exciting and busy phase. And I think the next few months will be pretty, pretty crazy in a good way. It's going good. And we are so full of energy and so full of drive to push this forward now after everything that's happened in the last 12 months, you know, it's really great. And I'm smiling.
You are. So thank you for being on the Donut Model.
Thank you for inviting me.
We love it. We love it. It's one of our favorite episodes.
På en måde, så vil jeg gerne sige, at vi faktisk her på podcasten Donut Modellen med mig, Anders Morgenthaler, er skyldige, at Grimm har fået deres penge. Jeg tror ikke, de selv opfatter det sådan, men sådan opfatter jeg det, og det er det vigtigste. Tak til Politikken for at udgive den her donut-model sammen med mig. Irma har leveret skejserne til mig, og jeg kunne gøre præcis, hvad jeg vil. Det er meget sjældent, det sker. Pernille Bønlykke, vores redaktør, har kæmpet en hård kamp for at få det hele til at hænge sammen med at få folk i studiet og de rigtige historier. Christoffer Heide er vores producer, en sindssygt hårdt arbejdende person. David Lynge har lavet musikken, og det tror jeg vist godt, vi alle sammen kan takke ham for. Lyt med næste gang, der bliver det igen super spændende.